But if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. Put your finger there and turn to Romans and Mark chapter 8. Put your finger, no. I can see somebody right now go, my Lord, you got that many scriptures, we'll be all day. We'll be back tonight. Numbers chapter 11. The title of today's message is simply this: Surviving When Times Are Hard. Everybody keeps telling you about how bad things are, but we don't have a lot of folks telling you how to make it. Hello? Can I tell you something, church? Those TV preachers that tell you you're never going to sick, you never have a problem, you never have trouble, you never have trials, have never read this book. I wish they were true. But honey, let me tell you something. Everybody in the Old Testament I seen having problems didn't get there because they were living wrong. They got there because they were living right. See, some of y'all leave me, what are you talking about, preacher? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't get thrown in the fire because they did something wrong. They went in the fire because they were living right. Job didn't go through everything he went through because he was living wrong. He went through it because he was living right. Daniel didn't go through what he went through because he gave up on God. He went through what he went through because he held on to God with everything he had, and he went through it. But notice what I told you. Every one of my innocent with, they went through. Amen. What you've got to realize is it's not what's happening around me right now. It's the fact that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm going through in the power and the grace of Almighty God. Glory. I can't make decisions on temporary situations. Hello? If I'm broke and I decide to borrow money, I made a decision on a temporary situation unless I prayed about it and God told me this is what you need to do. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Notice what the Bible said. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people on me? Have I convinced all this people, or conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child, and unto the land which thou swearest unto the fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give me flesh that we may eat. And I am not able to bear all these people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see thy wretchedness. And the Lord said to Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take the spirit which is upon thee, and I'll put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bearest not thyself alone. Romans chapter 8. For we know that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, or love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down, touch this house with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Minister to us, God, in your love and your mercy. Touch us with your grace, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them in the eye and say, I'm going to make it. Glory. Church, I understand we live in a hard world. Things aren't what they used to be. If you told me when I was a kid that gas would be $2 and something a gallon and we'd die to get it, I'd have said, you're crazy, because we're paying less than 20 cents a gallon for it. You'd told me if you stopped and got a drink and a candy bar, you'd spend $2. I'd have thought you're crazy, because we'd spend 15 cents. I remember when I got mad and they put a penny on 15 cents, and I'd start paying tax. Glory. I don't know if y'all understand that or not, but when you're getting $2 for a two-acre yard to cut, you don't want to spend that money unless you have to. Smile. The reality is things have changed a lot since I was a kid. And the thing about it is it's not really gotten better. It's gotten bad. We're living in a world where we don't know from one day to the next the economy's going to go out from under us. We live in a world where our Federal Reserve is actually controlled by people who don't even live in this country. Amen. I don't know if y'all know that or not, but the Federal Reserve, we base all our monetary stuff on, actually belongs to people living in England. And they could shut us down anytime they want to. And we're riding along. Everybody's going, oh, things are good. Things are great. But yet at the same time, we got all bumps and all kind of problems. And every time you look up, we're getting farther and farther away from God. Our government won't repent. The people in our government won't repent. And we keep talking about, oh, if we could get so-and-so in, if we don't find somebody born again, washed in the blood of Calvary to put up there, we ain't going to change nothing that's going on up there. Well, preacher, you just said it's not important. It is, because it affects us. But what we've got to do is understand that no matter what happens in Washington, no matter what happens down in Montgomery, no matter what happens anywhere else, as long as God is in my life, everything's going to be okay. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Moses is sitting here. Here's a guy seen great miracles. Things have really gone good in his life. He saw his hand turn to leprosy, and he stuck it in his pocket, pulled it back out. It was healed. He saw his rod turn into a snake and swallow the other guy's snakes. I mean, he's got things going. He's turned the blood, the river into blood. He's called down all kind of stuff against Egypt. He's led the people out, held the rod up, and parted the Red Sea. Things are going great. He's got manna coming for the people every day. Everything's wonderful. And Moses is off by himself saying, hey, God, I can't handle this anymore. You say, what was he having a problem with? Life. Come on, church. Smile at me. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Some of us have to wake up and realize life's going to happen. You can live in your fairy tale world all you want to, and you walk around talking about, I'm blessed. Oh, I'm just never going to have no problems, no troubles, no trials, and life's going to catch you upside the head, throw you a flip, and you're going to end up upside down. But when that happens, you got to understand there's only one way, one truth, one life, and there is a person who can turn your life back where it ought to be and give you power and grace and glory that makes you an overcomer. How many times have you heard Romans 8:28 quoted by people that don't know nothing about God? All things work together. Well, it don't work for them. Somebody said, now wait a minute, preacher. No, you wait a minute. Read the book. Unto those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. That's the only one. See, everything's going to work together for the good. Amen. And there are times we wonder when that wheel's going to turn. See, I can see some of you right now. Well, you're messing me up. No, some of y'all got the wheel stopped. You ain't letting it turn. You busy hanging on to something you should have let gone up 20 years ago. And it's eating your life up because you won't go on and move on from it. Moses is sitting there and said, God, if you're going to do this to me, kill me. I don't want this. Have you ever been to a place in your life where you looked up and said, I'd just soon be dead? Glory. Oh, come on, church. I ain't the only person that felt that way. Some of y'all just won't admit it. You're getting that thing just falling apart, and you're thinking, you know what? Heaven would be a whole lot better than anything I got going on down here right now, and I'd just soon be over there. Come on, church. Now, look, I'm not going to help myself get there, but I'm not afraid of going. Glory. Hello? I'm not in no hurry, but at the same time, there are times I look around me and say, you know, this really ain't worth it. Come on, church. Amen. I had preachers used to, they'd get up camp meeting and say, boy, I resign every Monday. One of them was talking to me one day, said, what about you? Do you ever resign? I said, shoot, I've resigned every night of a week going to a revival. Come on, church. I'd be going down the road. What am I doing this for? I mean, you know, they don't care. I don't care. Why am I even here? Come on, church. Y'all may not understand this, but when I evangelized, it wasn't easy, some of these guys thinking. See, we got guys now call themselves evangelists. They hardly ever preach. They just evangelists because they ain't pastors. They not evangelists. They just preachers that ain't doing nothing. Glory. Come on, church. I'm sorry, but, you know, if you're an evangelist, you'll be preaching. When I started evangelizing, I was preaching down Southeast Alabama. And y'all may not understand this, but Southeast Alabama ain't a place where folk got a lot of money. I mean, you get around Enterprise, you got the peanut factories, the Sessions own all of them, and they're not going to let nothing move in there and give people a bunch of money because they'd have to start paying more money. And Lord, wouldn't it be bad if your peanut butter went off the shelf? Glory. Smile. So you get down Southeast Alabama, they had the textile mills, and most of them were closing up. And you'd go down there to preach, and you'd almost have to give them an offering for showing up. One guy told me, he said, our church is good folks. They'll bring you an offering, son. They'll bring you a lot of vegetable stuff this week. But said, most of them poor in Job's turkey. Glory. Now, y'all may not understand that term, but since Job didn't have nothing left, the turkeys didn't either. Glory. And I'd go down there and preach, and I'd work in the daytime doing carpenter work. And I'll be honest with you, church, you're going 2 and 3 weeks in a revival, driving back and forth every night and working all day long. After a while, it gets bad. I mean, Frida's woke me up many a time, my head on my desk, because I went to sleep trying to get ready for the next night's service, and I'd wake up, put my clothes on, head to work, and I'd get off from work, come home and drive. I had a nephew I used to hire to drive for me every once in a while, because I got so tired I couldn't drive. Amen. Then a couple of nights I realized he couldn't either. Hello? But the reality was, it made me want to quit. It made me want to give up. And there were a lot of times I'd say, God, if this is all you got for me, kill me. Get me out of this. Let me have some relief of some kind. Amen. But notice this. Moses is praying. He said, God, help me make it. God, find a way to do it. Amen. And all of a sudden, Moses gets a word from God. He said, go get 70 guys. I want to show you something, Moses. See, sometimes you're in trouble, not because God's trying to show you something or use you for an article of somebody. God's trying to make you realize just who you are in him. Sometimes he's trying to make you understand something. I mean, let's face it, church, you're not nothing special except a child born of God, filled with his blood, washed in his power. But can I tell you something? My Bible said you were all fearfully and wonderfully made. God designed us, God built us. And let me tell you something, friend, every one of us needs to realize God knows how much we can take. He knows where the real breaking point is, and he's put in us the power to be overcomers. And some of us needs to wake up and look the devil in the eye and say, take your best shot. I'm going to be here tomorrow and the day after because I'm not giving up. Here Moses ready to quit. God said, go get 70 guys, bring them to the tent. I'm going to take the anointing you have, give it to that 70, and they're going to do what you could do if you just do it by yourself. Glory. Hello. Notice he didn't say, I'm going to get more spirit and put on them. I'm going to take the spirit, the anointing you have. I'm going to divide it among those 70, and y'all are going to take care of everything because I have put in you the ability to overcome what's in front of you. But since you can't do it by yourself, I'm going to let some folks help you. Come on, church. Some of y'all need to realize if God designed you and God built you, he knows what's in you. Come on, church. Amen. Well, what good does that do? And I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but I'm going to throw something at you. God is faithful. And he will not let anything come upon you except that that is common unto man. But in all things, God shall make a way of escape that you may bear it. Glory. We used to build houses. They'd give us a plan to build a house by. Now, if we were building a two-story house, we understood the second floor had to be stronger than if there wasn't nothing going on top of it but a roof, because it had to be strong enough to hold the weight that was coming down on it. If you're building a house in the air where they have heavy snows, you've got to make sure that house is going to hold that snow that sticks on top of that house. So you've got to design that house to hold more weight than you would in the air where there's not going to be any snow, where there may be not tornadoes, because around here we have to build houses that'll last when an oversized vacuum comes by. Glory. Hello? Don't look at me like that, because I've seen some of them we thought would handle it, and they were gone when it went by. Amen. But the reality is you build them different according to the architect, because he understands what they've got to hold up. But you know what? That architect doesn't have to figure out what it's going to do. You look at him and say, how much weight bearing is going to be on this wall? He can snap that answer just like that, because he knows exactly how much weight that wall can hold. You say, what are you getting at? I got a God who designed me. He's the architect of what made me. And he knows what's in me, and he knows exactly what I can handle and what I cannot handle. And he said, I will never put more on you than you can handle. And because he's the designer, he don't have to look it up. He don't have to go back and dig through the plans. He knows when it starts, I can come out the other side. And he put me there because he wants me to learn there is a God who is able to do exceedingly. Glory. Satan loves it when we come to church and worship him. Some of y'all, what are you talking about, worship Satan? Well, the devil's been all over me. You ever hear people talk about that? I mean, we blamed him for stuff he didn't have nothing to do with. You're late for church. Well, the devil made me miss my mouth. I didn't do that. Wasn't it you that was late trying to get that last shot of coffee and miss? I've been at churches where the devil was in the sound system. They say, well, the devil got in that sound system. I go, man, I thought that was a dude back there I knew. I didn't know the devil was in there. But if something goes wrong, it's got to be the devil. Why can't it just be somebody messed up? Because we run down to church and it never fails. Well, the devil's just been all over this week. Why'd you let him stay on? Why have we not learned that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? Do you not understand demons love it when you sit around and whine and cry and act like you can't do nothing and just let them beat you up, slap you around? Because, see, 99% of you ain't never going to meet Satan in your life. Ain't no need him showing up if a wimp demon can handle you. And a demon comes along and slaps you around, gets you all down and out, and you're ready to give up, ready to quit, and you're like, God, kill me. Oh, I just want to die. When all of a sudden you should realize, wait a minute, it doesn't matter what's happening today. It don't matter what's happening tomorrow. It doesn't matter what happens in this life. All I know is in whom I have believed and in who I put my trust, and in him I live and move and have my being, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in this. Don't you know Satan loves it when the world sees us fall apart because things went wrong? Because they're going, why do you want God? So I said, wait a minute, preacher, if I'm going to have the same trouble with them, why don't I want to be in church? Because I got him with me. That's more important than anything else that can happen. Hello? Glory. I wrote a quote down, and it's somewhere in these notes. But I'm wondering if the lady back there stuck that quote on the screen. If you did, could you pop it up? The quote by Jay Adams. There is something worthwhile, something exciting, something adventurous, something holy in it. What? My troubles. Because there is a point to it. God is in it. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, hey, it's exciting when I have trouble because I know God's in it. And if I'm in it with God, it doesn't matter if the boat's in a storm. He's going to be with me in the storm, and he's going to speak peace to that storm. And sooner or later, when things get to where I think I can't make it, he's going to settle it down so I can get out the other side through the power, the grace, the glory of Almighty God. Whew. Settle down, preacher. I'm trying. See, we misquote that scripture, try to tie everybody in. Listen to what James tells us. I'm getting back to the outline. Glory. James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect the entire, wanting nothing. You know what he said? He said, get to that place where you're not worried about nothing. You're just worried about loving God, because no matter what happens, God's in charge. God's on the throne. Come on, church. As long as God's on the throne, I don't have to worry about nothing happening in my life he can't take care of. Somebody said, well, preacher, what if you die? If I die tomorrow, you don't come down here worried about this old boy, because I know that even if I leave this world, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, and I'm not worried about whether I'm going to make it tomorrow or the next day. I'm just worried about serving him while I'm here. I just want to keep flying. Glory. Listen, there's some things you got to understand. It's 12 o'clock. That's the first thing you got to understand. Which means there's probably going to be a continuation tonight. Amen. But what you've got to understand is One of the main reasons we react in such a way to the lack of knowing the first and the last part of the verse. We react because we don't understand God's going to take care of us. God's going to be with us. God's going to take care of us and everything goes on. Amen. Listen, number one, point one, God is in control. I don't know about you, but I'm not serving a God laying in a cave over in Peking somewhere. And I don't have to rub some statue with a fat belly and a bald head and hope I get some faithfulness from it. I don't have to go to Mecca and crawl through a building, bump my head on the carpet, hoping the bones of Muhammad's buried in the walls and find somebody to give me favor. You ever noticed all the religions of the world, their God's dead, buried, gone? Except ours. I mean, they killed him, put him in the grave. He borrowed it for 3 days and came out. Why? Because he created everything here, so there wasn't nothing here could hold somebody that put it all in motion. Come on, church. The Bible tells me in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among men. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? In him was all things made. Without him, nothing was formed. My Bible tells me in the book of Galatians, he spoke the words, and the worlds were formed. Amen. This God that can speak and make everything come to happen, this God that took nothing, made everything out of it, hung it back on nothing, and made it stay there, is the one I'm serving. He's in charge. He's got all power, which is in heaven and in earth. And for that reason, there is no reason for me to back down, because my God is in charge. Glory. You'd think Moses would have understood that. I mean, let's face it, his people hadn't had to buy clothes. Target and places like that be out of business. Hello? They wasn't having to run down to the store in case there's a storm, because there was manna every day for them to go get. Of course, they got to complaining. We're tired of manna. Hello? Come on, church. Isn't it amazing? Manna means what is it? Some theologians actually believe that whatever they desired, they wanted, they could taste it when they eat that. Let's face it, if you eat the same thing every day, I don't care how much you like it, you get tired of it. I love pinto bean cornbread, but I'm not going to eat it 5-6 days in a row. Well, if you're hungry, you might. But hello? But can you imagine having manna to eat? You know, you want chicken, it tastes like chicken. You want fish, it tastes like fish. If you want pork, you couldn't eat it. Just have to sit on the table and pray over it. Glory. Offer it as a sacrifice, wait till the next meal. Glory. Amen. Then they got grabbing. We want flesh. We want fish. And so Moses is going, come on, God. I can't do this. There's almost 2 million of them. I'm one man. You imagine the notes waiting on him every morning when he woke up. You imagine people calling him early in the morning to give him a note. I just slid that in. It ain't costing you nothing. But how many people woke him up by hitting a rock on the tent? Hey, Moses, you up? I am now. Somebody throwed a rock on the tent. I got something for you. Come on, sir. Smile. We live in a chaotic world. Man, I remember when you had to fight to find some way to talk to people. I remember when the phone rang, we argued over who was going to have to answer it. Now, everybody in here, if the phone went off, y'all be grabbing and see if it's yours. It ain't been that many years ago. I preached revival in Alabama. Matter of fact, I remembered it a while ago. The only phone in the whole area was at the truck stop across the street, and you had to go and wait till you got a party line before you dropped your money in to make the phone call. That's out. We had 10 people on one line in Butte. You had to wait till you got the right ring, and you had to figure out who all was listening while you was talking. Glory. Oh.
It wasn't ever that hard. All you had to do is say something about somebody, and the next day they'd be mad at you, and you'd know who it was listening. Glory. Hello. Smile. Now, you know, we're in such communication. We got, you know, I was talking to the air conditioner guys working on air conditioner this week, and just so y'all know, we had to fix one of them. So, you know, we'll be taking up an offering sooner or later. Glory. I don't know how much it's going to cost, but he put 15 pounds of Freon in that new compressor they had to put on it. So that's going to cost some money. But he was working on it. He said, I remember when I first started this 31 years ago, I had a pager. And he said, I kept a roll of quarters in the truck. Because when a pager went off, I'd have to pull off, use a payphone to call somebody. And he said, when I talk about that now, these guys working for me go, well, what happened to your cell phone? This kid come up to me one day and said, preacher, how old was you before you got your first cell phone? I said, 40-something. He said, boy, your parents was mean. Some of y'all old enough to know that I was 40-something years old before they ever had cell phones. Y'all may not remember, but I remember the old phone where you carried around a big old bag and had an antenna hanging out the bottom of it. You plugged it up in there so you could. Hello? Now we got little bitty things that goes off, and we sit there and run the internet and everything else off of them. So let me show something to you, folks. I know some of you got your Bible on your phone, but when you type in, you ain't reading no Bible. So you ain't fooled the preacher. I know when you send a text while I'm preaching. Glory. Smile. I had one guy told me, said, get on them kids. Next day I look back, he back here. I start say, sir, can we read that to the church? Now, come on, smile. Some of y'all going, oh, preacher, I ain't going to do that. I'm just make you think I am. So you maybe put your phone up. Oh. You lost it, preacher. No, I haven't. There are people under the sound of my voice that your life is upside down. You're just like Moses. God, if this is all I got, kill me. Just get me out of this. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of all the trouble. I'm tired of all the things going on. And listen, folks, you might as well get ready. I'm not a prognosticator of doom, but I've read that book. It ain't going to get no better. It's going to get so bad, those of us that are really praising God right now are going to be saying, even so, come more quickly, because we can't handle it anymore either. And it's going to get that way, and it's coming soon. It's faster than we think. And for that reason, we need to understand there is something in me God has put in me that'll make me an overcomer. What I've got to do is discover that power deep inside me and hear what Paul said when he said, stir up that gift that is inside you, not somewhere else. But in you, God has put in us to make us overcomers through the power of His. Stand with me all over the house. Come back tonight. There are three more points, plus the rest of that one. Glory. I'm sorry, I show up over here about 5:30, and I've been working on this for all week, so it's just kind of been building. It's just hope I don't miss a couple of weeks. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? Our church needs to get to that place where we are able to reach out. And for that to happen, we got to get to that place we ourselves aren't stumbling and falling, constantly in trouble. Church, you're going to have problems, but they can't dominate you. If I dwelled on everything wrong in my life, I'd have no joy at all. Be like the guy that walked up to one of my friends and looked at me and said, Pastor, I've been in church for 20 years. Everything's okay in my life. I just ain't happy. I'm saved. But am I ever going to be happy? Am I ever going to get to that place I'm not worried about something every moment of my life? We got people in our churches that are just like that. They're constantly in problems and trials and tribulations because they've never understood that we make it. God didn't design us to drown or fall apart or to come around here and lose. He designed us to make it, to live for Him, to walk in His presence, to move in His glory. And for that to happen, we've got to release that gift that He designed and put in us that makes us overcomers. Come on, church. The Spirit of God's moving right now. I'm going to pray. But if you're here and I'm talking to you, I want you to head to the front of this building very quickly. God could very easily open something in your life today that sets you free. It's not that you're not ever going to have a problem or a trial or tribulation, but every time you go through one market, you say, wait a minute, the God that brought me this far is the same God that's going to keep toting me. And no matter how many times I've gone down, I've kept coming up because God is in it. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We thank you. God, we believe you to touch today with your power, with your anointing, with your presence. Move on us today, God. Touch us with your sweet love. God, move on us with your outpouring of your spirit. For we believe and we trust in you for everything we're going to receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.